Well, whoopee-doo. It's the news, according to me. Whoopee-doo, whoopee-don't. Whoopee-doopee-doo. Oh, there's all kinds of interesting news in the world of celebrities and stars. And there's also Whoopi Goldberg. You know, you have to wonder, if Whoopi didn't have the job she has. Well, I guess, I take that back. The job she had, which is just, she's getting a token. Here, to do a Joe Biden. It's just a token. It's just a token. Suspension. It's just a token. It's a two-week, take a two-week vacation. You did a good job. Take a two-week vacation. I'm sure that she's getting paid. Don't worry. They'll probably start a GoFundMe account for her. People start sending her money. Oh, it's too bad you're out of work here for 2 weeks. What are you going to do? Well, the question is, what would she do if she didn't have this job on The View? See, the problem isn't what she said on The View that day. The problem is what she said later that day. Because she was on with, I think, Stephen Colbert or whatever it was. She was on later. Of course, they recorded the show earlier the day before she got suspended. And then, and on Stephen Colbert's show, she actually doubled down on this whole thing. You see, I think Whoopi is finding out that race isn't just about black skin and white skin. And racism and racialism, being racist, can go two different directions. Or multiple directions. It was about man's inhumanity to man. You know, I kind of think I understand what she was trying to get at, but the problem is, in her baseline understanding of what she's talking about, she can only see race as being a color of skin problem. Or racism, I should say. Now, race isn't a problem. But the only problem we have with race is that there's one person's dark and the other person's light. I can't tell the difference because you're all white. Oh, I can't tell the difference because you're all black. How's that sound? Whoopi. Now, you know, this is where she's obviously not very well read. I guess somebody later on in a show later something or caught her kind of on another show and basically explained to her what Mein Kampf says in it. And then she kind of had to, you know, back down and understand it. Oh, I guess. Now, being Jewish is not racial. You can be a Jew you can be in the religion of Judaism. Doesn't make you Jewish. It's about being Semitic. The people from that area, and then there's the people from Asia, East Asia, West Asia. We used to call it the Orient. You can't do that anymore. I guess that's racist now, too. I don't know why. Nobody's explained that to me. Why is that racist? I don't know. For a while, there was a time when people would call African Americans, they would call them Negroes, because that there was, that was what they called them. That was the tribe that they came from. Most of them are from Niger. And then you can't call them that. You have to say they're African, or you have to say they're black. Actually, they wanted to be black there for a while, like in the 60s, I think black was the thing. We want to be called black. Okay, we'll call you black. Then it was African American. I think that was when the white people started to step in and tell them what they needed to be called. The woke folk, we call it, who were, you know, had a virtue signal. We're gonna step in now and explain to you. They're the same ones who don't think that black people can afford to get an ID, a free ID, or know where to go to get one. They don't know where the license branches are. How are they going to get an ID? It is so stigmatizing. It is just absolutely abhorrent that we only think of black people as being poor inner city folk who can't read and write. We don't have the capacity to do anything. This is racism on the left. Still, it's still committing racism. There was a really good interview the other day I saw. There's a gal on Dennis Prager that works for Dennis Prager. Now, she's part of the Young Something group. I can't remember what it is. But she was, for a long time, she was a leftist, liberal, radical. And just kind of woke up to this whole, literally got, not just woke, but got actually, was aware of what was going on with the black community and how the people are treating the black community and how they're keeping them down with these ideas of, we're here to help you, when it's actually, we're here to enslave you and keep you where you're at. And they were looking at the statistical records of reading and writing and arithmetic in the inner city urban schools. Out of a class, I think it was 700 and some kids, high school kids, there were only 12 who were reading at their grade level. A majority of them were still reading in grade school level. We're talking second and third grade level. Some of them were less than that. And the left has a solution for this. Well, we're just not going to fail anybody. Rather than trying to increase the quality of their lessons or their learning, or help them, let them go to whatever school they want, give them school choice. That's, I can't do that. We're just going to get rid of grades. We're just going to go pass them anyway, because that's discriminatory. You can't fail anybody, because that's racist. Much like my cup. My cup is discriminatory. It discriminates against the cold. Now, I have got this cup. What's in my cup? It's my thermos again. It's not a cup, it's a thermos. And I'm going to put it on this little piece of paper here so it doesn't make such a banging noise when I set it down. The interesting thing that we have right now going on is we also have crime rates going down. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. Many of the inner cities have crime rates that are going down now, even though people are being shot more and more things are being stolen. But the crime rate's going down. Well, again, this is one of those leftist policies that they fixed the crime issue. We fixed the problem. We're not going to prosecute anybody anymore. Which, that in that case, well, look, the crime's gone down because we're not prosecuting anyone. Two rival gangs recently in a big city in Illinois. I won't mention the city, but it rhymes with Chicago. Recently, two rival gangs were shooting at each other in the street. People died. People were shot. People died. Only among the gangs. No innocent bystanders were hurt that we know of. The prosecutor decided not to press any charges against any of the shooters, even though they have them all on tape. They have them all in video. Decided not to prosecute any of the shooters because it was a consensual gunfight. They were fighting each other. They were participating in a mutual gunfight. Therefore, we're not going to press any charges, even though if I went downtown and just shot at a target, and the target agreed that I should be allowed to shoot at it, if I just set up a target and started shooting at it, they would put me in jail, take away my license, give me a federal trial for public endangerment. You're not even allowed to fire a gun in city limits in most cities. So our solution to take care of the crime rate is just to not prosecute it. And in turn, then we don't have to report it. If you're, you know, of certain ethnicity, ethnos. So there's a bit of a snowstorm working its way across the fruited plain. And I keep getting these pictures from my wifelet. I think it looks like we've gotten about 10 to 12 inches in the last 24 hours, I believe. And there's a little bit of a break now, and then the wind is supposed to pick up, and then we're supposed to get another, 4 to 6 inches, I believe, over the next 24 hours. I will be driving back into that tomorrow. So if you would, if you think about it, you might want to keep me in your prayers. And all those people who are out having to drive and that stuff, all of them, just keep all of them in your prayers. How about that? Not just about me. Because all of those people are potential listeners of this program, and we have to make sure that they might possibly, you know, that they won't be listeners if they're not around to listen to it. So we just make sure you pray for them, because I consider everyone a future listener of this program, or a past listener of the program. If they usually listen at least once, and then they become a past listener. They've listened, so they're therefore there. They qualify on one of those fronts. We, I haven't gone over the statistics of this. I should probably look at that. Why don't I look at that? I'm going to look at that right now. In fact, I'm going to look at the geographic map here and see what's been going on. This is just in the last 90 days, I believe, since it's been. Yeah, this is month 22. Yeah, this is just from since December. This is just 90 days. And there is a bunch in Russia. That's kind of amazing to me. I don't know. See, where is the Ukraine here? It's not in here. It's not right. It should be right there, but it's not. I don't see. There's Kazakhstan over here. Is Ukraine? I don't see it. Yep, it's not there. Apparently nobody. Nobody from Ukraine has been. It's very possible that someone has actually seen it or heard it. I'm sorry. Because what happens here is we have the way this thing works. Romania, looks like Romania's in there. I don't see anything else there. Of course, the United States, South America, there's some in South America, Argentina, Brazil, Venezuela. And of course, the United States and Canada. Australia, still no one from New Zealand. I still have nobody over there in New Zealand. I don't think I've ever had anybody from New Zealand ever. Indonesia, Papua New Guinea doesn't have anybody on there right at the current moment. Indonesia does. What's that? Tanzania and Nigeria. Nigeria doesn't surprise me. I've been to Nigeria. I've got a lot of friends there. I got most of my friends actually live in Nigeria. I haven't been there for 40 years, but everybody I know is from Nigeria. Yeah. No, not really. So I've got, it looks like Russia, Germany, Ireland, Canada, United Kingdom, and Australia are kind of the top. That's the top 10. It would be United States, South Korea, believe it or not. South Korea is second to the United States. Let me take a look at this. How does this happen? South Korea, that's a lot. I have a lot of people listening to me in South Korea. That's kind of surprising to me, I guess. And then Japan is even in the running there. So it's United States, South Korea, Mexico, and Japan, and then Russia. Russia, Germany, Ireland, and Canada. Shout out to all those people then, folks. South Korea, Hana Du Set Net. Mexico, hola, ¿cómo estás? Japan, hi. Russia, Laksvidanya. Germany, how you doing? Ireland, don't you know? Oh, yes. That was more of a Minnesota, Ireland, I think. Canada, eh? And, of course, the United Kingdom. That was kind of an Irish United Kingdom, even. So Australia. Yeah, Australia, United Kingdom. I don't do that. I don't do those accents very well. I've never worked on accents. I need to work on accents at some point. Expand my possibilities. So that's what we have going on right now. This is what we have going on. And all we have to do is eliminate said crimes, and the crime rate goes down. It's just like magic. If we don't call it a crime, it's not a crime anymore. Amazing how that works. But if we call everything racism, then racism goes up. That's how that works. It's just, yeah, if you order a McDonald's cheeseburger, you're a racist. That's how that works. I don't know, folks. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. There's some really crazy stuff going on. Whoopi Goldberg has been suspended now for 2 weeks for saying what she said. And it's basically a token gesture thing. Ask the people where is she? Is it ABC, CBS, whatever it is, whatever show she's on, whatever network. Ask them. Just try it. Ask them if they have suspended her pay. I can almost guarantee you this is a 2 week vacation. Take 2 weeks off. We'll fix this for you. When you come back, it won't be a big deal. Because, you know, if you're black, you can't be racist. Because racism is, she has no, what's the word? It's not administrative power. She has no institutional power. So she can't be racist. That's what I hear a lot of times, which is bunk. It's baloney. But I digress. So the Zucker. Is it Zucker? Is there Zuckerberg? It's Zucker. Zucker. Is it Jeff Zucker? I guess it is. Was running CNN. Apparently he was having an affair. I guess was is he married? I don't know if he's married. I don't know anything about this guy, other than I know that he's been caught several times. Pretty interesting. Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, did a little expose on the Zuck. They have this morning call every morning where Zucker would tell them what to say, what narratives to do, how to spin things in the news every morning. Get everybody on this call-in deal. Well, somebody gave James O'Keefe the phone number. James O'Keefe called in many times. And he recorded every phone call, every bit of every group call when Zucker was on there telling them what to say and what to do and how to do it, what narratives to follow, what stories to plug, and what stories to not cover. And, of course, at one point, I think this was going on for like 30 days, and finally, James O'Keefe decides to cut into the conversation. Hey, yeah, by the way, Mr. Zuck there, this is James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. We've been recording all your phone calls for the last 30 days. Do you still think that you're the most trusted news network on the planet? And what do you say to those people who have heard these, who are going to hear these phone calls? And he basically just says, oh yeah, thank you for your comments, and I'll get back with everybody on a different platform. Goodbye. I know. Well, now he's stepping down because he had it seems too easy to me. Why would someone step down from this position because he had an affair? There's more going on. It's not just an affair. there is much more going on with this guy. This guy's a leftist radical. Nobody cares. Who's asking him to step down? Now, I do know that apparently that the people who are kind of the big money people behind Zucker, they're actually bigger than Zucker, apparently are getting really frustrated with CNN and the way that the place has just completely continued to demoralize news in general and discredit themselves with the continuous lies that they do. MSNBC is even worse. Anytime you turn on MSNBC, it's all about, we're going to get Trump. We're getting Trump now. Trump lied. Oh, now Trump went out and had this rally and he said this. He basically admitted to all this stuff that happened on January 6th by saying this. Trump came out and said something about how poorly some of the January 6th individuals are being treated. And he thinks that if it's necessary or if it's appropriate, if he's ever president again, he will make sure that they are pardoned. Some of them are pardoned. I don't know what just happened here. It looks like my headphones have been connected, and hopefully, yeah, it looks like I'm still recording here. That's good. Not sure what happened there. So, I have Bluetooth headphones, and it just said that they connected to my computer. I don't have them out. They're not even out right now. They're in my, where are they? They're not even in my pocket. They're over there on the table. They have a life of their own. Probably Zucker. So anyway, he got in trouble now. So you have to wonder what's going on here with this whole thing. But anyway, Trump said this whole thing with the pardon. Of course, the left's heads exploded. One, because he's threatening to come back and run for president. And the other is, and of course, his rallies are pulling in 10,000, 20,000. So I think it was like 16,000 people at his last rally. That's more people than voted for Biden in 2020. Oh, that's right. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. That was misinformation. I was misinformed. Biden got 81 million votes. It's amazing. Trump got more votes than any other Republican candidate ever in the history of this country. Oh, but guess what? Joe come along and got several million more. No problem. Yeah, that's easy to believe. Yeah. So we have we got that going for us. And then we have this issue of the FBI and the ATF. Now, I've just recently learned today, this was actually a report that came out yesterday, but I just found out about it today. The FBI has apparently been keeping records. They're not supposed to keep, it's illegal for them to keep a database of gun owners. Any records on gun owners, what guns they have, or any gun owners they have, or who gun owners are. Come to find out, they've got a list of about 980 million records. Now, there's only 300 million people in the country, 320, give or take 50 or 60 million immigrants. And these people are on this list. So you know, many people own more than one gun. So it's not that they just have you on a list that says you're a gun owner. They probably have lists of everybody who's ever bought a gun. You know, these background check things. That's all this is, folks. It's not about a background check. It's okay. So they need to find out if you're a felon, convicted felon, so they don't sell you a gun to convicted felon. I get that. The problem is every time you do a background check on somebody, they go down as a gun purchaser. Purchasing a gun. Well, where do you think that information goes? It goes into a record. And somehow in the process of doing all this stuff, the ATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, BTAF, is keeping this record. Now, they say that they don't go to this record unless there's a crime committed, and they search the record for anybody that's in there. But they're not even allowed, by law, they're not allowed to even keep a record. This was a problem in the state of Indiana as well. The state of Indiana was keeping records for a while. They were caught keeping records. What they would do is they would say that they would erase the hard drive. Well, you don't erase the hard drive. You destroy the hard drive. Just ask Hillary Clinton how to do that. She's got a class, I think, on that. She's got a master class on how to get rid of data and information, how to lose emails. And along with all the corruption of the BTAF, BATF, I guess it is, I don't know, BATFE, I don't know what it is, is this issue with John Durham. This is a complicated sticky wicket here we're going into. The Durham investigation is an independent counsel that's been out there messing around for a while. And again, I think this is just another investigation to collect data. I'm not highly at all. There's some people who really think that what's going on is we're going to see some major things come out here in this, some investigations and some indictments, the way he's probing into some things. And I don't have much confidence in that at all. I have none, actually. I don't, you know, there's always this little bit of flicker of hope inside me that somebody's going to step up and do the right thing in the midst of all this. But I really don't think it's going to happen. If I was a betting man, I would not bet on that one. Bill Barr, who appointed him, who was the Attorney General under Trump, was just as much of a statist, or deep state person, or the administrative state, whatever you want to call them, bureaucrats. He's been in Washington forever. He was just as much of a part of this. Now, I don't understand what his whole purpose was for instating and for appointing a special counsel. Democrats didn't seem to be too concerned about it. And this would, I would think, if he was coming after them, that they would be shaking in their shoes. But they have said nothing about it. So they're not afraid of anything that he's doing. He gave him some pretty far-reaching powers with regard to what he's allowed to investigate. And it smells like a rat. Like this is going to be... to me, if it would have lasted, you know, 3 months and they would have just said, oh, it's nothing to see here. But they must be onto something, collecting a whole lot of information they can use against people later on to control them. That's what they do, folks. That's their SOP. They do this all the time. And this is what's happening probably again. In fact, recently there's a guy that wrote a book about this whole thing. And I can't remember what the guy's name is. He was being interviewed this morning, I think, actually. Was it yesterday, this morning? I saw the video this morning. I can't remember if I saw it on a network or if it was actually something on a YouTube video. It was a clip from a news program. And they were talking about the whole thing about how this is their SOP. This is what they do. The whole thing that happened with the Russia collusion investigation is exactly the way they operate. But we saw more of it at that point. But it's the same way they go after everybody else. And it's gotten to the point where it's like they're so standardized in the way they do it. It's you can see the pattern. Once in a while, I get this crazy idea that, you know, I wonder what I would have, could have become, or what I would have done if I would have been involved in law, whether I would have been a public defender, or if I'd have been a defense attorney, or if I'd have been a prosecutor. I don't know which one I would have wanted to be, either a defender that defends against these ridiculous prosecutors. When I say ridiculous, I mean, some of them have outrageous ways of going after people that are just absolutely corrupt, in my opinion, the way they do things. And then you have these other individuals that are very good at defending people, but they get corrupt in the way they defend people, and they get people off for that are absolutely guilty, but get them off for stupid reasons. That's just about as frustrating. So I don't know if I'd rather be an honest prosecutor or an honest defender. I don't know which one would be easier. Going after people that I know, you know, that in a proper way that we, you know, that we can do the process, give them due process, or if I would be better off. And I've kind of settled on the fact that there's probably fewer honest prosecutors out there, and we could use a few more of those. I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm saying there's not as many of them. And probably need more of those than we do good defenders. But then I also know that there's people who get railroaded and get shoved down the prison way who probably shouldn't be. And a good defender would be able to, for just reasons and for the right reasons, be able to defend people from prosecutors that are railroading people into something, or that trick people into doing or saying something that in a court case or in whatever's happening, that ends up getting them tripped into something that they didn't do, or to confess to something they didn't do, even. It's just it's a craziness. It's craziness, folks. It is Wednesday, February 2nd at 6 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time right now. I'm hoping to get this 6:10 actually, 6:12 something like that. Hoping to get this all this stuff put in the can here and published here in the next 20 minutes by 6:30 Eastern Time. That's my plan. Hope to get that done for you. I notice listenership is back up again because I'm doing a little bit shorter shows. This one's going to be probably about 30 minutes long, and that's always helpful. I've stopped doing live shows at the moment, just because it's been a little bit of a struggle. I think I'm going to work. I've got this next couple weeks or next week or so. Actually, after tomorrow, I've got about about a week and a half that I don't have to travel too much. I might have to travel a little bit. It looks like I might actually end up going to Little Rock possibly next week. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, but we'll find out. I hear my bumper music coming in. So I guess I need to get out of here. This is the News According to Me. Thanks for listening, subscribing. Appreciate your prayers and your support. Take care, everybody. Pray for your leaders. Pray for each other. God bless you. Have a good night.